Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the one and only, all the way from the Northeast now, all the way from Pittsburgh, the one and the only, Steve Palaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
And I said it. All right. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Do we have a program ready for you today on our one year anniversary.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Of VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. We have so much encouragement for you today. We're going to be talking about people that are coming to God. They're finding the Lord. They're coming from everywhere. God is so, so good. We're going to be talking about Israel. We need to pray for the apple of God's eye. We need to stand with Israel. We're also going to be talking about heart matters. Oh my goodness. It's all about what's going on the inside. We want to welcome everyone that's listening all around the world, all of our Facebook fans and friends. We want to thank you for joining us and being a part of this conversation. Oh my goodness. Well, could you believe, guys? 1 year.
Amazing.
God is good.
Yes, he is. What we have learned. We're still learning, but boy, have we learned a lot. It's been a complete honor and a pleasure just to be on VFN Radio and be sharing word of encouragement and God's news behind the news. You know, we want to be a light, and we are a light of the world.
That's right.
The light of the world, rather. And we want to encourage you.
Amen.
We want to encourage you and inspire you to go after God, to stand for truth, to be a seeker of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we're just excited. I mean, 19,000 fans now on Facebook, and just a worldwide folks that are just connecting and being part of the conversation. And we just thank you for all the encouragement. We thank you for all those who have texted and sent your messages and have posted on Facebook, and really for partnering with us. It's many of you who have shared on Facebook segments and highlights that you've heard, and you've been so encouraging as we're just seeing everything take place. And we look forward to the future and everything that we're going to be sharing and everything that the Lord's going to be leading us and guiding us through. It's just a wonderful, wonderful day today as we share this anniversary.
Yeah, it's amazing just being able just to see all that God's done in 1 year, and just to see the progression, the journey, and it's just like to where we are now. It's just all you can say is it's just God.
That's right.
It's all God.
That's right. And it's not just even our Facebook, but, you know, as well, the torch. I mean, the torch has literally been going all over the world. Folks have been listening and passing the segments around and emailing them. I tell you, if you haven't got a chance to go to the torch, you want to go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the flaming torch on the right-hand side, the moving torch.
How cool it is.
Yes, it is. Whoever handles that torch of VFNTV.com, I got to tell you, those guys.
Who could that be?
I don't know, but that looks sharp. That looks really sharp. I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to know that I have started an exercise program.
You?
Yes, I have.
Like an organized program.
Well, you
like
know, I want to be in shape. I want to be in shape. I want to be ready for what the Lord has in store, and I want to get all. Just in shape, you know, toned up.
A-shape.
Well, I'm A-shape now. I'm going to another shape.
Either way.
So this what I'm doing. Right. What I'm doing is I actually went around the block several times today.
Really?
Several times. I just got out there and I just went around the block real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised at this.
Wait, question it. Were you walking or were you driving?
Well, you know, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
I was rapid movement, okay? And I was going around real, real fast, and you're going to be surprised that I didn't even break a sweat, not even once. Now, three times around the block.
Wow.
And I was moving. You heard the speed of light. I mean, I not that fast, but I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't even break a sweat.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, very, very simple. I just took a wood block, put it on the floor in the living room, and ran around it three times real fast. And I ran around the block. And, you know, that's the new fitness program. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Really? Really?
Well, listen.
That's the best you could come up with?
Well, look, right now, you need to pray for me, because right now,
Lord, give him a bigger block. I just asked for a bigger block.
I'm staying with my in-laws right now. You know, our home is being prepared for us, and we're having a great time spending time with them, and it's been really great.
Right.
But, you know, I just fall under this conviction. They are, like, healthy people. They're fit people. I mean, I look at my father-in-law, and I just get convicted. He's 68 years old. And he just did, I don't know if you heard about this, it's called a Spartan race. They have like these obstacle races.
Really?
And I guess they have them all over the country. They have them, I think there's one called Tough Mud or Mudder or something like that. I don't know. You know, as you know, I don't know about these things.
this is obvious.
I don't know about these things, but this is like a 3 mile, I mean.
Who did this?
This is my 68-year-old father-in-law.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean. Listen, I've got pictures, dude. I've got pictures. I mean, look, he is in the ground, in the dirt.
Where do they do this
at? Oh, wow.
They have them all over the world. We're going to have a website up for you at The Torch, but they have them in Vancouver and Quebec and Toronto and just all over the world and all over the country. And they have thousands of people in this open field.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, doing these high ropes and low ropes and getting under in the dirt, man.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that.
It's intense. He finished.
How long is it?
Finished.
Isn't it like 10 miles or something?
I think it's 3 miles. I think it's
3 miles? Okay.
It's not like no regular. It's a major, major obstacle course. And I'm like, stop bragging. Stop it. Stop. And then, you know, if that doesn't help you. Yeah, my brother-in-law, you know, and his wife, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Fitness.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
There is not...
You're feeling really good.
No, I'm not feeling good.
After he told you about the Spartan race, did you tell him that you ran around your block?
Well, actually, I got the block idea. It was in his house. So I said, I like this. This is a workout that I could do. But, you know, they come around, and I'm like, I feel guilty if I eat something. I'm like, guys, what are you... There's not an inch of fat on there. I'm like super, super, super shape. They are in incredible shape. They gathered Pensacola Fit Club.
Wow.
And they have a website, PensacolaFitClub.com, and you can check those guys out, man. But they are intense in their workout. And let me tell you something. They got some results. They haven't quite gotten me there yet. Not yet. Maybe one day I'll visit. I'm afraid to maybe venture into that intensity. But those guys are doing phenomenal.
You know, I think about like what you're saying as far as running a race. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of race that Paul writes about in running a race towards Christ.
Mm.
And because there's obstacles that are going to come against us, and there's obstacles that are going to come to refine us, but it's just like run our race like we're running for a prize. Just like anyone else would prepare for any race, we're called to run a race for Christ.
Yes. I like that race now. That race I'm running good. Right?
Yes.
By God's grace.
There you go.
But I have to do the other race too.
Right. So so you said those city blocks?
No. Wood blocks. Wood blocks.
Wood blocks.
Well, okay. North they got bigger blocks.
Yes, but I wasn't running up north. I was, you know, around the wood block. But one day, I mean, then he does this thing where, you know, I don't know what you call it, but he jumps up in the middle. I mean, jumps up as high as he can and extends his hands and his legs. I don't know what you call that exercise. Looks like you're
star
flying.
Jumpers.
Oh my goodness.
Is that or
star jumpers.
Wow.
Dude, he's just showing off.
Didn't you used to do that kind of stuff, Steve?
Used to. Yeah. What is
like a couple months ago?
Isn't there a subject?
Well, let me tell you something. They're getting fit and I'm soon.
We're praying for
soon.
You.
Yes, thank you. Thank
Lord,
you.
Give
thank
them
you.
A bigger block.
Thank you. Yeah, you know they have lettuce and all this good stuff, and all your hamburger next to him. Said, you want something? They go, no, no, we don't eat that. Okay. Oh, I love these guys. I love them. Well, you know, in God's news behind the news, which is real serious right now, what's happening in Israel, we want to pray for Israel. We want to stand with Israel. Yesterday, we talked about how anti-Semitism has become fashionable today.
Yeah.
And we talked about some of the myths that we heard the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, share. But CBN is reporting right now that Israelis, they're getting ready, you know, they're readying for war. There's, you know, there's a looming threat from Syria as they're in a civil war right now. 80,000 people have died in this civil war. You know, Syria is, you know, allegedly has allies with Russia and Iran, and this is not good. You don't want these chemicals. First of all, you don't want the war to overspill on Israel's borders. Mm-hmm. You don't want, you know, their civil unrest to come on over the borders of Israel, and then Israel has to deal with it. And then the other thing that Israel's concerned about is that these weapons are going to get in the hands of Hezbollah or other enemies of Israel, and there's so many, that can cause damage to Israel. This is a really serious concern, and one that we're sharing so that we can, you know about it. Can't pray about what you don't know. We can know about it, and we can pray with the right perspective. Lord, protect Israel.
Right.
Lord, protect Israel. And so we want to listen to what CBN is reporting. I want you to listen up.
The civil war in Syria has already killed more than 80,000 people? 80,000. And now it threatens to spill over into Israel.
Israelis are already practicing defense drills in case of deadly battles, including attacks with weapons of mass destruction. Chris Mitchell has that story from Jerusalem.
Israelis headed for bomb shelters as part of a nationwide drill to practice what to do in case of war.
When it's a real time, then they know exactly what to do, and they won't be frightened or terrified.
Dubbed Turning Point 7, the three-day drill simulated rocket and missile attacks on Israeli cities. That includes chemical and other non-conventional strikes. The drill is annual, but the government held this one with tensions high on the Israeli-Syrian border. Israel is also concerned that Hezbollah or other jihadi terror groups could acquire Syrian chemical weapons.
This is one of the worst scenarios that Israel could think about.
More than 80,000 people have been killed so far in Syria's two-year civil war. But Israeli intelligence expert Jacques Niria told CBN News that neither those loyal to Syrian President Bashar Assad nor those opposing him are winning.
So we have a stalemate on the ground, which means that this civil war could last for several years.
To complicate matters, Syrian opposition forces have been overrun by thousands of jihadis who want to reestablish the caliphate.
So they want an Islamic State 100%. The first thing they did in Homs, when they took one of the quarters of Homs, was to ask all the Christians who are living there just to leave town.
Niria says there are two possible outcomes. Assad survives and his allies Hezbollah and Iran are strengthened, or he falls and the jihadis take over.
One alternative is a nightmare. The second one is a worse nightmare.
The U.S. and Europe say they are now working to bolster the rebel forces. But some say that would be a mistake.
When you take a dictatorship out, you create a political vacuum. Who is using this political vacuum is the Muslim extremist. And that's the scenario that we saw happening in Egypt and Yemen and Tunis and so on and so forth. The same scenario will take place in Syria. And this will be a much bigger mistake.
Israeli officials say they'll stay out of the conflict unless they need to defend their citizens. And Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu warned that Israel will continue its efforts to stop Syria from transferring weapons to Hezbollah. Despite all the talk of war, many Israelis say they're not concerned.
Israel is a really strong country and we can beat everyone.
I'm afraid I don't want to be the war.
I'm not afraid yet, but I'm not happy about it. Really not happy about it because we understand that it's very dangerous.
Still, while most Israelis are hoping for the calm to continue, they know they must prepare for war. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
It's a confused mess, and it's a thing the United States should stay out of. The rebels are now fighting among themselves. The Kurds don't like the jihadis. who want to establish an Islamic state. So there are various, the Shias and the Sunnis fight each other. The reigning party are the Alawites. It's a small sect of the, I guess, Sunnis. But in any event, the Alawites have held control and they've held in check the Muslim Brotherhood and other extremist groups. But this thing is coming apart. But which side do we go in on? And the question is, you help one side win, and then you wish you'd never done it.
It's so important that we stand with Israel right now, because exactly what they're sharing on CBN. I mean, right now, what do? You have a country that's in complete civil unrest. This war has been prolonged. You have 80,000 deaths, and Israel, they're so wise. They have everything kind of together, and we know it's the Lord. He has the true Iron Dome. It's his hand, by the way, that's over Israel. And they've done these practices. It's a three-day drill, and it's a simulate rocket and missile attacks.
And not only missile attacks, but nuclear attacks, and they're aware of that, too.
Absolutely. And so their concern, like I said earlier, is that Hezbollah can get a hold of these chemical weapons, and now what started out as an unrest in Syria can continue to spill on over into Israel. And the correspondent was Dr. Naraya, if I said that right, Naraya, N-E-R-I-A-H, and he's a specialist for the Middle East, works with Pat Robinson and CBN, and he's just reporting and sharing all this information. It just makes you want to really stay alert and be watchful during this season. Mm-hmm. We just talked about in the program not too long ago about the four blood moons. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, you know, This is the first time it's going to happen in 500 years.
Yeah, right.
NASA is predicting this. NASA. And April the 15th, I believe.
It's the first one
on tax day. Mm-hmm. And
it goes pretty much.
Actually, the last time it happened was 1967.
But last time four blood moons was 500 years ago.
Well, no, the four blood moons have happened.
It's happened. It's three times in the last 500 years.
Since like 1492, I believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to take over. Like this upcoming one, like you said, it's going to start April 15th of next year and go all the way till September 28th, 2015.
Yeah.
And it's just that time. But what's significant about that is each time this has happened, it's always been around the existence of Israel.
Mm.
And we have to watch Israel. So often it's just pray for Israel. But it's like we have to take a concern.
Sure, because as Israel goes, so goes the church. I mean, it's not our only reason for wanting to stand with Israel. But let me tell you something. You can't ignore Israel.
That's right.
It's very important.
That's right.
You know, it's the apple of God's eye.
Mm-hmm.
And Naraya goes on to say that, you know, they want a 100% Islamic state, and they're going to do everything that they can to continue to move that forward. And so... they said two possible outcomes can come out of this. And I thought, you know, this is definitely, you know, something to pray about. One is that he says there's two possible outcomes. Either Assad survives, strengthening Hezbollah and Iran, or he falls and the jihadists take over. One alternative is a nightmare. The second one is a worse nightmare.
Right.
There isn't a good outcome with this either one of these alternatives. And so what we can do, though, you know, what we can do is we can always pray. And let me tell you, there's so much power in prayer, but you need to stand firm and support those ministries. You know, we've supported for years Duguette Ministries, and we're going to make that link available for you on the Torch. Support those. This is the time to preach the gospel. Let me tell you something. This is the time... to get the gospel of Jesus Christ spread all over Israel as things are trembling right now. There's always concern. We don't need to lean on the arm of the flesh there, but we need to help to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, Church of His Presence has also been instrumental in blessing Israel. We just want to support those that are standing with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a friend of Israel, you're a friend of with us. You know, we want to support those also. KUFI, Christians United for Israel.
Right.
These are wonderful organizations that not only pray, they mobilize, they preach the gospel, and they send funds.
Mm-hmm.
They send, you know, tangible money,
resources
for Israel. And so we just really want to see how all of this is going to unfold. But I know this, that he who neither slumbers or sleeps watches over Israel.
Right.
And with that, we can rest.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a pastor of a church, and we've investigated getting land from the Bureau of Land Management here in Nevada. They donate land to the school district, but they won't donate land to the churches. I was just wondering what our stance is.
It depends if the Bureau of Land Management's policy is that we'll give it to only other governmental entities, and that may be what's taking place in that particular case, that it's a governmental entity that is the one requesting land, and they will give it to another governmental entity, and that's maybe the reason why they're not giving it to churches. So if they have a general land use policy that allows them to donate land to various groups, including nonprofit organizations, and saying they shouldn't donate it to the religious group, you could win that case pretty easily. But it's probably because there's a limitation on the issue as it relates to the government agencies receiving the land.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Steve and Pat. Well, you know, just before the break, we were talking about Israel and how we need to pray for Israel. Israel is readying itself. It's preparing itself, you know, for maybe potential war. They don't know. Syria is teetering back and forth. We don't know what's happening with Syria, but we do know there's civil unrest. We do know there's 80,000 people that have died. We do know that Russia and Iran is supporting Assad, who's the president there of Syria, mm-hmm. and we also know that these chemical weapons, if gotten into the wrong hands, is Hezbollah and basically enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer.
That's right.
That's a game changer.
Big time.
And so Israel says that they're going to stay out of the conflict, of course, you know, unless they need to defend their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what the prime minister said. And he warned that Israel would continue to stop efforts by Syria to transfer weapons to Hezbollah.
Right.
That's not going to be a good idea. So
mm-mm.
We want to pray. Like we said earlier, we want to stay alert.
Well, it's specifically, too, that's a lot of times when people say pray for Israel, we have to pray specifically. Pray specifically that Israel would be able to defend themselves. Pray specifically that it would not go nuclear. Pray specifically over the borders with Syria, over the borders with Egypt, over the borders on the north side of Turkey. Pray. God loves specifics.
Yeah.
So often we can just say, Lord, help Israel, but we have to just pray specifically. And God hears your prayers.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Tony Dungy,
yeah,
former coach, Super Bowl champion, Colts, basically gave a word of encouragement to Tim Tebow.
Did he?
Yeah, you know, Tim Tebow.
Sure, he could use one right now.
Oh, I know it. Tim Tebow, who started out with the Broncos,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
NFL team, they drafted him in the draft. And my goodness, for being the backup quarterback his
right.
first year, I mean, going to the playoffs, not bad, not
yeah.
bad at all.
Yeah.
But then he was traded to the New York Jets, and you know, I got a Tim Tebow T-shirt for the Jets, and we were excited. We were excited to see Tim in New York, and they didn't give him a shot. They didn't give him a chance that whole
yeah.
season.
Yeah,
they gave him a nice contract, but here in the, you know, at the end of the season, they let him go. He's without
right.
an NFL team for the first time in mm-hmm. his short career. And so you can see that, you know, my goodness, you may feel like a failure, or you may, you know,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have a team to play on. And if you know anything about Tim Tebow, he is an intense competitor.
Very intense.
Who loves, just as intense he is about football, he's actually more intense mm-hmm. about the Lord.
He loves the Lord.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he loves
does.
God. And talk about how one man has preached the gospel, I mean, to the whole world on national television. His stand for God has just been so encouraging, and really, I believe, has really helped a lot of other major league athletes,
mm-hmm.
you know, professional athletes, come forward and, mm-hmm. and stand with
Be
their
bold
boldness.
About their faith.
I truly
yeah.
believe that, because you didn't hear that much, but, you know, mm-hmm. Tim Tebow is the type of individual that he doesn't look for a hole, basically. He just heads and creates one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You make one. And that's what a trailblazer for God does. He opens pathways
yeah.
So that others can come after. And so many times people are looking for, you know, what's safe. Oh, someone's been there before. I want to travel on the path that we know that someone's mm-hmm. been. But then there are others that say, listen, I don't see a path, but that's okay. That's
right.
not going to limit me. With God's help and God's wisdom and God's direction, I'm going to create a path.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for myself, but so that others can come behind. And that's exactly what Tim Tebow has done in the sports world, if you will.
Right.
He has blazed a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had Jeremy Lin with the former New York Knicks, who's now with a Houston
right.
basketball team. And you have guys like R.A. Dickey,
mm-hmm.
was with the New York Mets and now with the Toronto Blue Jays. And there's so many athletes. Drew Brees with the Saints and
mm-hmm.
Jeremy a felt that we talked about yesterday, who returned $500,000
right.
oh, wow.
in overpayment.
That's right.
That his boss has paid, baseball player for the San Francisco Giants, gave it back. These are Christians. And there's a host of other Christians and sports athletes. In fact, I just got a book not too long ago about the Cardinals organization, baseball organization, and how they won the World Series, but how most of those team members, a lot of those team members are believers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming out and they're saying, listen, I love Jesus and he's the reason for my success.
Right.
But Tony Dungy says this, what he tells Tim Tebow in a blog, the Lord has a good spot for you. The Lord has a good spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times we experience a setback. We experience a failure in our life. The Bible says that although you fall seven times, a righteous man falls seven times, he still gets back up. And so many times we are trying to coach people and help people to be successful, but oftentimes, you know what? Life is about a bunch of failures. Life is about stumbling and falling, and you got to get yourself back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Maxwell wrote a book once called Failing Forward,
mm-hmm.
and that when you do mess up, instead of falling back, you fall forward.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is learn from that experience, and we want to fail forward.
Right.
And we fail forward in God. God will help us.
Mm-hmm.
God will help us, but we need to learn from that. And you don't want to stay in a place where, you know, one setback. If you keep focusing on your setback, you know, David said, I'm going to magnify the Lord.
Right.
You have two choices. You could magnify your problems. You can magnify your failures. You can, you know, have sorrow and pity over your mistake, or you can listen, repent, cry out to God and say, God, I want to learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn from this experience and move forward. I want to learn from your mercy. We talked about one time on VFN Radio about appropriating the mercy of God. God gives us so much mercy in our life. What he wants us to do is not to take the mercy and just, oh, okay, thank you for, you know, I didn't get a speeding ticket or whatever it was, and just throw it out. But he wants us to learn from that mercy so that we can grow from it.
What helps too is just like when we're embracing our weakness. Sometimes that's the hardest beginning lesson, because that's when we're giving the most attention, the most glory to God. It's just that when we are embracing our weakness and allowing him to move, because like you're saying, falling forward, a lot of times, like for me personally, the biggest fear was avoiding failure, because you just, you quote unquote, did not want to fail or be seen as a failure or make mistakes. It's just like...
Which means you're going to fail more often and harder, right?
Exactly. But it's like, that's when you learn the most, is when you learn like the realization of like failing is okay, or in the eyes of the world, failing, because that's when you learn the most. Like my biggest lesson points in my life was when I made the biggest mistake.
Yeah.
Because that's your biggest learning point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that you have to get to that transition point to say, okay, just let it go. And just let God.
Yeah, that's so good, because I heard someone once say that a person who hasn't failed at anything is a person who hasn't done anything.
Hasn't tried much.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, think about Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about failures. I mean, how many elections did he lose?
Mm-hmm.
Lost family members? I mean, he's just failure after failure in the world's eyes. But then eventually...
He became the president.
We're still talking about him today.
That's right.
One of the greatest presidents.
Exactly.
One of the greatest presidents, and he was the steady hand that kept our country together when our country had a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. This nation was divided.
That's right.
To the point of guns, to the point of brother against brother, family members against family members, and it was his steady hand, you know, that kept, you know, this country together.
From dividing itself in that most crucial hour,
right. So if you stay and stand, even when it stinks, if you lean on the Lord, right, not on your own understanding, and you acknowledge God, He's going to direct you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that you don't magnify the problem, you don't magnify the failure, you see what God can do in the midst of it,
and that's
the whole thing. Everybody wants a testimony.
Hmm.
But nobody wants to go through the test. You know what I mean? All they got are the monies. You know what I mean? You got to go through the test. Everybody wants to see, you know, the lion get lockjawed. But nobody wants to be thrown in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to walk through the fire and say, I walked through the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to feel the heat of the flames.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, God is the fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
It's when you get to the end of yourself, when you've hit rock bottom, believe me, from experience, it's a good place, you know, because when you don't have the ability to look to the right and that option's gone, when you don't have the ability to look to the left and that option's gone, and when they've backed you up against a wall and you can't really move forward and your back is against the wall, the only place for you to look is up.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Because so often people want God to deliver them from the storm, but the reality is that God delivers you through the storm.
That's right. Knowing God in the storm is so important.
That's right.
You know, it's where you meet God. It really is. It's where you cry out to God. And one of the things that we can do to really hinder that in a person's life, and I've seen this once, my goodness, I've seen this so many times, is that well-meaning people get it twisted. They feel like they have to rescue a person that's in a storm. You know, they have to reach out to that child or reach out to that person, and they have to,
enabling them, and they miss out. They're the ones that miss out.
And they wonder why they keep having the continual repeated storms, because they're not learning through the storm. They're not looking up to God. They're looking to someone else.
Listen, the prodigal son was eating what they feed the pigs.
That's right.
He was broke, busted, and disgusted, right? He was
amidst
done.
The famine.
Yeah, in the midst of the famine, he didn't spend everything his father gave him. And the Word of God tells us that he came to the end of himself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come to the end of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the true moment when his own revelation came to himself. He's like, the servants in my father's house are better off than where I'm at right now.
Right.
And in what's so significant is like when you look previously in that story, how it talks about he spent all of his wealth in his
wild living.
Yeah, his inheritance on wild living. And it's just like, that's where the world's at right now, on this, the wild living and the pleasures. And it's just like, I was reading recently, it's in Romans, I believe it is, where it's just like, Moses wanted to suffer with the Israelites and saw that as a greater reward than the pleasures of sin for a short time.
Yeah.
That wild living, that pleasurable lifestyle. It's just like, which one do you want?
Yeah.
Because it's only going to last for a short time before you come to the end of yourself.
Right. But the thing about failure is that failure is not permanent.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be. Mm-mm. You know, you have peaks and you have valleys.
Yeah.
And what determines how long you stay in that valley is you.
Yeah. And the whole point, not the whole point, but a lot of times he's doing that because he's wanting to reveal. He's not trying to find out what's in your heart. He wants you,
he wants you to know
what's in your heart.
Yeah. That's right.
He already knows. He's just trying to get it out so you can deal with it.
He already knows. And as much as you want to sometimes reach out and fix the problem for someone, you know, and men are really good at that. They're fixers. They want to jump in and just get in there and say, do this, 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 and that, you know, and or, you know, moms, you know, mothers come in there. So a lot of times want to just, you know, love on and just, sometimes you just got to let people go through it, but point them to God, not go through it by themselves. Say, listen, God is your only help. God is your only hope. And when you do that, God shows himself strong. I mean, there's nothing, listen, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you encounter God. When you encounter God, I want us to listen to, we're going to listen to, when we come back from break, we're going to listen to Tony Dungy's personal story, how he overcame obstacles, challenges, and failures. And this is a man that loves God. This is a Super Bowl winning coach, champion, and he loves the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to hear a story.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation, is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, the persecution of the Christian churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. This is John Ramos, and joining with me in the first hour is Pat and Steve. We're just talking about how failure is not final.
Mm-hmm.
Failure is not final. And failure in the world's eyes is definitely not, you know, failure in God is
right.
Totally different, you know. But my goodness, all we need to do is just reach out to the Lord, cry out to God, say, Lord, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this mess. Help me. Right. Help me. And if you don't know God, let me tell you something. This is the time. You know, oftentimes things are crashing and burning because you don't have the right foundation. You're building and you're doing all this stuff in your own strength, and you're doing all this stuff apart from God.
Right.
And that doesn't end well. I mean, the guys that started building the Tower of Babel, they started building this thing. And
apart from God.
Apart from God. Mm-hmm. And God's like, oh, no, thank you. You know, and it was over. It was done. Mm-hmm. And maybe what you're experiencing is because maybe you've left God. Maybe you've tried to do things in your own strength. Maybe you realize that here you are in a rubble. Maybe it's a financial collapse. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken. Maybe you are suffering tremendous health. Maybe you've got something that happened that's real bad. But let me tell you something. Right there in the midst of that, you can find God. I want you to listen to Tony Dungy, NFL former NFL Super Bowl champion coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I want you to listen to his story.
2005 season, we're the number one seed. We've got a great team, a team really without any weaknesses. We've got home field advantage. Everyone's saying it's our year. We end up falling behind to the Steelers in our first round game. We march back. We've got a chance to tie the game up and go into overtime. And Mike Vanderjagt's our kicker, extremely accurate guy, never misses a big kick, and he misses. Pittsburgh goes on to win the Super Bowl. And now you kind of hear it from everybody. Well, the Colts are never going to win one. They've had all these teams that are really good, but something's missing. And that window of opportunity is going to close up on them. I can remember thinking, man, as good a team as we had, if we don't win it now, we may never win it. And I'm going to have to be okay with that. I think you can glorify the Lord in every circumstance. How you respond to failure, how you respond to disappointment,
says a lot more than how you do in successes. God has taken some unexpected things in my life over and over and really, I think, tried to find out if I was going to stay with him or if I was ever going to get to the point where I say, this is too much. I'm going to go my own way. I started coaching when I was 25 years old. And probably by the time I'd been an assistant coach for 10, 11 years, the word was getting out, this guy might be a good head coach. I started to interview for head coaching jobs, but everyone was looking for that stereotypical coach, looking for the guy who was going to demand perfection from his players, who was going to show that emotion and everything that they expected to see in a head coach. And that wasn't me. How much does this mean to you? How much are you prepared to sacrifice to lead his team? And what's important to you in life? And you know what the man wants to hear, but it's not really what's in your heart. I'm going to give you a lot. I believe I'm going to deliver you a championship, but no, the team is not going to be the most important thing. When I was called to interview at Tampa, I told Lauren, we're not going to get this job. I don't know anybody there. I have no connections. And so when I got the job, I said, you know what, we want to win a Super Bowl, and I believe we will. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it so that our young men are people that the community is going to be proud of. I want to do it in such a way that we're doing the right things with our families, and it's going to be a win-win situation. I believe it can be done, and I believe it can be done here. I came down feeling like, hey, this is where God wants us. We're going to win. Everything's going to be great because this is God's plan. It's not my plan. That's, to me, one of the hardest things in life when you have an idea of the way things are going to go, what you hope for, what you dream about, what you pray for, and it doesn't come through. That's when it's easy to get disappointed with God. Why didn't it work? Why didn't it pan out the way I thought it would? It was one of the biggest disappointments of my life because I did feel like the Lord had brought me down to Tampa. And I had to realize that it worked out. It just didn't work out the way I had planned. I didn't know at the time when I got fired what I was supposed to do. Was I supposed to look for something in Tampa outside of football, or was I supposed to look for another job, another city? And Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, called me and he said, we're making a change at head coach with the Indianapolis Colts, and you're the guy that I want to be our coach. I believe in all the things that you believe in. We want to do things the right way. We want to win, but win with the right kind of people, and you're the guy to lead us. And that was a message that I really needed to hear at that point. My favorite passage in the Bible is where Christ says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And with 31 years in the National Football League, I've seen that a lot. And so to me, that was the thing that I always wanted to tell my players. Don't put this game first. Don't make football everything in your life. How we relate to each other, how we live, what you have in your heart for eternity, how you respond to the Lord, that's the most important thing. This game will take care of itself. Even though we, you know, for 4 or 5 years had those bitter disappointments at the end of each year, I never gave up. It wasn't to the point where I said, hey, we can never win this thing, but I got to the point where if that is what God has in store, it'll be a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm going to be okay with that.
through a lot, and our slogan by that time was, it's our time. You know, those disappointments were in the past, but now it's our time, and we got to seize the moment, and we did that. Amazing thing in the locker room, Super Bowls are so different. As soon as you win, the celebration starts. You have a ceremony out on the field. It maybe takes 40 minutes to get everybody back together. Many of our players were just waiting. They said, Coach, we've got to finish this one like we have every other game. We've got to have the team prayer. And we asked that the reporters shut their cameras down and let us pray. And I was so proud of the guys for hanging in there and saying, this is what we want to do. We want to honor the Lord in this victory. And we did that. One photographer didn't honor our wishes. He took a picture of it, but that picture went all over the internet, went all over, and it was really a great tribute to what that team had in mind of putting the Lord first, even at the Super Bowl. Every decision I make in life, I'm going to make it through the lens of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him out there first, and my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own desires are going to be second. It's that simple. And if we do that, Christ promised that he would come into our lives, he'd be our head coach, and he'd guide us to that victory, that ultimate victory. I'm Tony Dungy, and I am second.
Come on now.
Wow,
oh my goodness.
Powerful.
Come on now.
That's powerful.
Failure is not final. Failure is not final in the Lord. Listen, this is a man who saw so many obstacles, so many things that he faced, and he refused to change who he was.
That's right.
Listen, he wasn't going to be the stereotypical football player, football coach. He wasn't going to demand all these things.
Right.
And this is a mild-mannered man. I mean, you see him on he doesn't fit a stereotypical coach.
It's doesn't show a lot of emotion.
A lot of emotion, throwing stuff at him. You know, sometimes in sports you see folks use all kind of it's not necessary to use that type of language to inspire someone to greatness. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of those failures, you know, it's nothing like being fired. You know, you get fired and you feel like you're a failure, you did something wrong, you didn't perform, you didn't do what you needed to do. Mm-hmm. And out of that brokenness, he gets an opportunity to go on a team that he finally does lead to the Super Bowl. He finally does lead them, but he's saying now they experience so much failure that at this point they're saying now is our time. And let me tell you, you're listening today and maybe you've experienced setback upon setback, failure upon failure. You know, maybe you've even away from God right now and you're saying, my goodness, listen, we want to tell you today that now is your time. You don't have to stay in that place of failure. You don't have to stay in that place of setback. You don't have to stay in that place of lack and brokenness and despair. But let me tell you that Jesus, the head coach, Jesus can pull you out of that. All you need to do is turn to him. Repent where necessary, where God's showing you that this doesn't match up with his will, his ways, or his word, and say, God, now's my time.
Yeah.
Now's my time. I'm coming back to you. I want to get things right in my life. I want to get things right in my home.
Yeah.
I want to get things right in my business. I want to get things right with my family because now is the time. Friend, time is short. We talked about yesterday how life is but a vapor. And David says, Lord, teach us to number our days aright. We don't know how much time that we have. But like Tony Dungy just said, with the time we do have, we need to glorify the Lord.
That's right.
And the difference that one man can make, here he is, he's leading this team. And at the very end, the team, and as they're celebrating this Super Bowl victory, I mean, if you watch a Super Bowl victory, if you watch a Super Bowl victory, they're just going nuts,
bonkers,
and they're just and they ask the media to turn off all of the cameras and everything so that they can finish the Super Bowl game. Like they finished all other victories, and that's praying to the Lord and honoring God.
And thanking him.
And thanking the Lord. You know, it's so important that when we come out of the place that we're in, when we come out of the failure, that we don't forget God. That at the place that he pulls us out of the darkness and the light begins to shine upon us and we see the breakthrough. Take that knee. Take that moment in your heart to say, Lord, you know, I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to forget you and I'm not going to go back. Listen, failure is not final. Just turn your heart to God. Give him everything you have. And let Jesus Christ pull you through.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
To VFN Radio
every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see. I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning, man. It's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what you know the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the BFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words.
Yeah. Well, we like
that are coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in. And then you're plugging in others, yeah. You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left. I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord and get a fresh word. We always say this.
You're right. You know, I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we got to live for God like he's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve them all the way, dive in head first, and just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33 and how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like,
that's a beautiful journey.
There's just no way that I could have been, I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFN Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights
automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.